This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A new Meredith poll shows how North Carolinians feel about the governor and the president's handling of the pandemic. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Richard Burr's controversial stock dump is back in the limelight. While the Justice Department's investigation continues, his counterpart and fellow Republican Tom Tillis says Burr owes everybody an explanation. Plus, presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden announced this morning that he denies the sexual assault allegations made by a former Senate aide. The Me Too movement reaches Biden as he ramps up his search for a running mate. The Political Junkie is with me now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Frank.
Allegations of sexual misconduct, of course, long plagued the former vice president. The most recent account of an assault, though, former aide Tara Reid recounted the details of then-Senator Joseph Biden performing a forced sexual acts against her. Biden went on MSNBC this morning. He denied the account. Ken, how are some of Biden's potential running mates responding?
Well, it seems like everybody, first of all, he has said, as he said in his last debate or the last debate that happened, with the debate with Bernie Sanders, that he would name a woman to the ticket. So, of course, everybody is now asking these women, like people like Stacey Abrams and Kirsten Gillibrand and other women, to see how they respond, what they think about Joe Biden and these allegations by Tara Reid, which, in fairness, have changed over time. Last year it was inappropriate touching. This year she's talking about sexual assault. But anyway, for the most part, and this is very interesting, the most part, the Democratic women, along with most of the Democratic Party, is staying with Joe Biden, saying this is not his customary behavior. This is not what Joe Biden is known for. Yes, he does get a little touchy-feely at times, but he's never been accused of something like that, and they still support him. And that's interesting to me, given the fact that, as Joe Biden has said himself, that when somebody like Christine Blasey Ford came forward again during the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court, he and other Democrats said that these women deserve to be heard and should be heard, and that puts Joe Biden in a quandary.
Well, remember the reaction and the support that Bill Clinton got, how progressive forces, including feminist forces and activists, supported him during the Monica Lewinsky story.
That's absolutely true. I mean, it seems like to a person, every woman who came forward, even before Monica Lewinsky, all those other women, Paula Jones and other women who made accusations, these feminists said, look, you know, Bill Clinton is a longtime advocate for women's rights. These women are just headline grabbers, and we don't believe her. And then when, of course, women came forward with allegations against Donald Trump, there was no hesitation on their part. Now, I mean, that a lot has to do with politics, and that is regrettable. And that's what puts that's why Joe Biden had to answer these accusations, because it's not fair, of course, to say, well, you know, I'm a Democrat and I've supported women's rights all these years, so therefore I'm above reproach. And I'm not sure what kind of response Joe Biden got from his show today on Morning Joe. You know, Mika Brzezinski pushed him hard and asked him a lot of questions, and he denied everything. And even Donald Trump tweeted and said, well, you know something, I think you have to answer it, because as you know, we men do get accused often when it's not fair. Look at Brett Kavanaugh, and now it's Joe Biden's time to turn to answer these accusations.
All right, well, we'll watch this one going forward. Let's talk about some more of the dynamics here. U.S. Representative Justin Amash announced he's exploring a third-party candidacy. This is a kind of Tea Party Republican-turned-Libertarian-Independent, and he's causing concern from both parties, really, if he decides to run as an independent. Should we be thinking about this at all, Ken?
We should, but of course, even if he does become the Libertarian Party nominee, we've seen in the past that third-party candidates, George Wallace is a perfect example, John Anderson, Ross Perot are perfect examples, that in the early stages, maybe late spring, early summer, early fall, their numbers do very, very well. And of course, as it gets closer to the election, the third party candidate's support drops off. In 2016, when Gary Johnson was the Libertarian nominee and Jill Stein was the Green Party nominee, they did get more support than third parties usually get in these cases. But I think the feeling back in 2016 was that, well, Hillary Clinton has the election in the bag. It doesn't matter if we break away and vote for these people because we're not crazy about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, and therefore we'll go third party. Joe Biden, at least up to now, doesn't have those same kind of negatives, and there are a lot of people who feel that a third party vote may be understandable in 2016, not in 2020. But Justin Amash sees no difference between the Democrats and Republicans. He, matter of fact, the reason he got into politics was the executive orders and the debt busting spending of George W. Bush. He didn't even blame Obama for it. He blamed Bush for it. So,
well, who does he pull from? I guess my question is, who loses? Which of the candidates loses?
Who knows? The fact that, well, you know, maybe he takes away never Republicans who would ordinarily vote for Trump, and he hurts Trump, but he also splits the opposition to Trump, and it could help him. It's too soon to tell.
Richard Burr, still in the news, made those big stock sales when he had information in detail that the rest of us did not. Is this story going to go away for him?
It's not going to go away for him. The only difference is that he's not running for re-election, although he's not up until 2022. There are people like Tucker Carlson, the host on Fox News, who said he should resign because this kind of cronyism is going on too long in Washington. Burr denies any wrongdoing. He says he followed CNBC's news reports. That's how he knew to sell off his stock. But the fact is that Burr and three other senators did sell off hundreds of thousands of dollars of stock in February after they got briefings on the coronavirus by the government. So,
well, more than that, he serves on the Intelligence, Healthcare, and Finance Committees, and according to the Center for Responsive Politics, received $1.5 million in donations from the pharmaceutical and medical products industry.
Well, he's always been part of the pocket. That's a little strong, but I mean, he's always been a healthcare industry supporter. But the fact is that the stock sales are suspicious. But again, he says he did nothing wrong.
Hey, let's talk about the reopen movement, and I want to start right here with this new poll. Meredith College releases a poll that shows more than three quarters of the state of North Carolina, the voters here, according to their poll, support the Governor Cooper's decision to extend the mandates and the restrictions. And that goes across party lines, that there are majorities in both the Republicans and Democrats, which to me, Ken, is interesting in a purple state like North Carolina, where politics is playing such an important part in this reopen debate.
Well, let me name somebody else who supports Governor Cooper's efforts, and it's Tom Tillis, the Republican senator who's up for re-election this year. I mean, Tom Tillis, of course, you know, knows where the winds blow, and clearly that most of the governors, and whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you're Mike DeWine or Larry Hogan, who's Republicans, or Andrew Cuomo or Gavin Newsom or Roy Cooper, who are Democrats, the fact is most people feel that the shutdown, the stay-at-home orders are correct. They feel that the demonstrations are irresponsible and wrong, even though they are a noisy group. And I think Tom Tillis feels the same way.
Noisy group, but there's a lot behind it. I mean, there's more than just noise. And while there appear to be clear political lines in places, in other places there are not. There are some very good reasons, public health reasons, for reopening perhaps a little earlier. At least a rationale can be supported. And they run along business lines. If people stay unemployed too long, it's not good for their health, their mental health, et cetera. So it's fascinating. If you look right here in our state, Gaston County has said, well, we're going to go ahead anyway and reopen. And they made some of those very arguments. It's a fascinating debate in some ways because there is a fair amount of nuance.
There absolutely is. Look, I'm not diminishing the economic impact on the people who have either lost their jobs or temporarily lost their jobs. But look, at the same time, look at what's happening in California, where they opened the beaches and then everybody was just ignoring all social distancing. And the governor said, wait a second, we have to close the beaches again. We tried and it failed. We'll see in states like Georgia, Florida, others who have opened up beaches, decided to support tattoo parlors and bowling alleys and restaurants, dine-in restaurants. We'll see if any increase in infections happen, but the fact is people are restless, people are scared and tired, and they are financially taking a beating.
This is March, elections in November.
April?
April, where
May.
Are we? We're in May.
May.
It was March. Do you remember
it
March?
Was.
That's
I remember,
that was the
yeah.
start of this. So this begins in March, all right, and now we're here on May 1st, right? And
yep.
the elections are in November. How big a part do you think the questions about was it well handled are going to play in the November election?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that is the issue. You have to say this is going to be, I mean, look, the fact is that Joe Biden has taken the lead. I don't take much stock in these polls, but Joe Biden has taken the lead in many national and key state polls, and he's done nothing, really. He's been in hiding. So clearly, this election will be, by all accounts, a referendum not only on Donald Trump's 4 years in office, but certainly how he has handled the coronavirus. And when he talks about doing things like suggesting the injection of disinfectants, his numbers go down. Sometimes all the things he's saying by patting himself on the back and accusing Democrats and the media of distorting what he's having to say, the voters will take all of that into account.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Ken Rudin, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you, Frank. And it's May.
It is, and it's been a long time coming.